You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I don't know about you, but I came to church this morning expecting to receive something from my God. Did you? Come on, did you? Yeah? I tell you what, God is in the house. Amen. God is in the house. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. There is joy. There is hope. There's restoration. There's healing. There's wholeness. All the goodness of God is in this house today. Amen. Church, I believe with all my heart that whether you came here as a new Christian, as a mature Christian, or as somebody on a journey in between, that God wants to speak to you today. Amen. Today. And you are so blessed to be in His house. Amen. We are so blessed to be in His house. If you'd like to receive something from God today, would you reach out your hands in faith? I want to pray for you. Maybe you just want to receive encouragement, inspiration. Maybe you just need to be reminded of His goodness. Or you want to grow closer to Him today. Just reach out your hands in faith. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single one of your children in this place, every single one of your creation. The God, that in this moment, as we open up our hearts and our minds to receive from you, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would inspire us, that God, if there's dark places in our hearts, that you would shine light and bring life in Jesus' name. God, we just commit this time to you, and we know that we know that we know that you are in this house, and we will be blessed in Jesus' name. And all those who receive it say amen. Before you take your seats, if you're new here today, after the service, out those double doors down the back there, immediately to the right of those doors, we have a gift for you, one of these welcome boxes, and we just know that'll bless you. We don't want you to leave here without being blessed in every area of your life that we can bless you. So run out there after the service, get that. There's a couple of t-shirts in there, a journal, some information. It's just a wonderful gift from our church to you to say we love you and we're glad that you're here. And I will give this box here to the first person from that section to jump on this stage. That'll be awesome. Come on, first person. All right, come on. Oh, there we go. Just jump up there, mate. God bless you. Last night, a guy in a wheelchair just said, well, I can't jump up there, but I can run into that stage and just boom. And so he definitely won and got the box last night. So that was fantastic. One of my favorite moments of last night. Isn't it good to be in church? Awesome. Turn to your neighbor, say it's going to go viral. And then look at the screen. Take your seat.
Gangnam Style.
So we got the viral sermon series starting today, and I'm super excited about it. It's starting this weekend, and I don't know what you think of when you think of things that go viral, right? We all think of different things. Maybe you think of like all the advertising or the AIDS epidemic of the 1980s or the swine flu of the 2000s or Zika. Maybe if you're over 30, you think of Outbreak, the movie, when everybody stopped touching anybody and started hiding themselves in basements all across the world, right? Or if you're under 30, maybe you think of that new movie, Contagion. My wife refuses to see the movie Contagion. She's like, right now I like people, right now I like hanging out with people, but if I watch that movie, I'll never talk to another person again in my life, right? Anyone else like that when you watch movies like that? You're like, freak out. Yeah, I don't know, maybe you think of video clips like this up here.
Oh, naturally. Okay, here we go. So, yes! Now watch when my mouth actually moves. That's not me making that noise, it's the mask!
I tell you, these days, absolutely anything can go viral, can't it, right? Like, you, a woman laughing with a Chewbacca hat on made tons of money and gets invited all over the world because she laughed with a chewy face on her head. Like, you can go viral doing anything. You can go accidentally viral simply because one day when you were shaving your head like you did every 2 weeks of your life, maybe you're riding a motorcycle every day and you didn't want hat hair, so you shaved your head every 2 weeks. But one of those times, you thought it'd be funny to shave a circle on your head and so, you know, like have that, and you had it for 2 minutes and then you send it to a friend and you put it on the internet. And then 12 years later, people still asking, is that you? Is that you? And you're like, I don't know who that idiot is, but it ain't me. It's my brother. Mm-hmm. The internet is forever, people. Yeah? The internet is forever, is that right? You put something on the internet, it's going to be there. Anything can go viral. Things can go viral really easy these days, though, can't they, right? Because we've got large populations and easy and fast travel and technology and the internet and social media and iMessage. You know, we have such incredible resources at our fingertips that we can do really great harm to people, can't we? Right? We can really harm people. We can really hurt people. We can really break people's hearts and spirits if we use all the resources that we've been given these days to do wrong or negative things. See, often viral can mean negative things like disease and abuse online and different things. But I reckon that as believers and as the church of God, praise the Lord, that as God's church, that we can harness the viral nature of the world that we live in to do incredible good. Yeah? Just to do incredibly good things for the kingdom of God and for God's creation. See, Scripture says that the world should see our good works and that then they'll glorify the Lord. That the world will see our good works and that then they will glorify the Lord. So this sermon series is all about my belief and understanding that the church should be the cultural architects of the world, not the other way around. Yeah, amen? Right? That the church, that the bride of Christ should be the cultural architects of the world. That they should conform to the pattern of the church, and the church should not conform to the pattern of the world. Can I get an amen? Now, I'm not saying that we should reject innovative experiences that the world has to offer. I'm saying that we should be the ones innovating, loving, caring, helping, setting the standard for the world to follow. So I want to talk to you about some of the things that I think we should be setting the stage for the world to follow, setting the stage for our communities to follow. Amen? Are you following me? Some of the things that we should be the epicenter of change, right? Things that need to change in the world, and we are the epicenter, or patient zero. Trace it all the way back. Where did that start? Started at eternity. Hallelujah. Things like hope. Hope going viral. Realizing that, do you know what? No matter what happens in the world, we don't give up hope. We will not lose hope. We got a hope and a joy that the world can't take away. Amen. And it's going to go viral. It's contagious. When you hang around hope-filled people, you leave with a little bit of hope, don't you? Yeah. When you hang around joy-filled people, you leave with a little bit of joy. What about honor? Right? Honor going viral. Us being patient zero of honor, the church, not just here, all churches being patient zero, honor being traced back to the church, generosity. What about assuming the best in people? Someone flies past you on an interstate, hope they get a ticket. No. Oh man, that's probably a believer going to preach the gospel to somebody. Assuming the best in people, right? What about unity? Unity, yeah? That the church would be the epicenter or patient zero of incredible unity and reconciliation in the world, amen? Fun, people like, oh, no, church isn't the epicenter of fun, it's the opposite, you know? We have, you know, not in this church, because they tend to leave the first day they come or conform. People who are like, oh, you know, you should totally give your life to Jesus so you can hate your life like I hate mine. Like what? Like that's what some churches are known for. right? Like, hey, go join them so you can hate life. Like they, no, church should be the epicenter of loving your life. Your life is a gift of God. It's fantastic. It's precious. It's wonderful. And the church should be teaching people how to love their life so people can say, you should come to my church. You should give your life to Jesus so you can love your life like I love mine. Amen. We should be patient zero of all of these things. But often things start in the secular world and the church has to play catch up, especially when it comes to technology. Trends, ideas, processes. Sometimes even some biblical principles. Now, if the world comes up with a great idea, I want to be among the first to adopt it. I want to be among the first to admit that's amazing and embrace positive change, right? But I don't want to learn from the world how to love people. I don't want to learn from the world how to grace. I don't want to learn how to mercy from the world. I want the world to learn from me. I want the world to learn from us that when people make a mistake, we love them no matter what. Yeah? Yeah? I want them to learn that from you. That when they end up on the news, there's one person who will not unfriend them on Facebook. There's one person who will not go back and delete the photos that they took with that person. When people disagree with us, we bless them. When people are stuck dead, as Scripture says, dead in their sins, we welcome them. When people gossip about us or hurt us, we forgive them. When people are downcast or forgotten and hurting, we accept them. See, we're called to be the trendsetters, the cultural architects, amen. Scripture says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. But I believe with all my heart that the world should conform to the pattern of the church in Jesus' name. Amen. That the world should conform to the pattern of the kingdom of God, the values of the kingdom of God, the hope of the kingdom of God, the love, the joy, the peace. Amen. Amen. We're called to be patient zero for God's grace in Central Iowa. Patient zero for hope. Patient zero for mercy. Patient zero for infectious generosity spreading across the Midwest like a fire, amen. Patient zero for righteousness. Why? Because God came in and said, boom, you're righteous. Boom, you're righteous. Boom, you're righteous. Boom, you're righteous. And then everybody who starts hanging out in the church is going to be made righteous, amen. We're patient zero. The world is watching. Let them see good works and then let them glorify the Lord. Do y'all know that song? Yeah. Let them see good works and then let them glorify the Lord. Yeah. It's not a real sermon if I don't sing at least one of the lines in my sermon, right? So today I want to talk to you though about something really, really fun, really exciting that I believe with all my heart God has placed inside each and every one of you, okay? There's something inside each and every one of you that I want to talk to you about today. Something that as we embrace it, it will help us to go viral in all the other good things that God has called us to do, all right? Something that as we embrace this one thing that is inside you, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying you and you and you, right? This one thing that's inside you that God put there. See, again, this idea of going viral, it's not about me going viral or becoming famous. It's not about you going viral or becoming famous. It's about you and me making our God famous. Amen. Come on, you're with me. It's about you and me making our God and His ways and His values famous and viral in our communities and in our world. Praise God. Making the values of the kingdom of God famous again. Making the principles of God's word viral in our community. And yes, check it out. A little bit of the blessing that's passing through you will probably stick to you. Hallelujah. So it'll bless you as well. But we're talking about a viral church and a viral people of God. See, there's something inside each and every one of us that God put there. It's that piece of us that represents God from the very earliest moment we see Him represented in Scripture. You were created creative. You were created to be creative. Amen. Even if you don't feel it, you were created to be creative. I have said so many times in my life, I'm not designed that way. I don't roll that way. I'm not inclined that way. That's not my gift. I'm just not the creative type. But as I began to look into God's word, the more and more I began to realize that that's just not true. It's just not true. See, let's start with the story of creation. And bear with me, this is a different topic. I know, I said it last night too. I've never ever in my life heard a sermon on God created you to be creative. But we're going to roll with that today. Are you good? Come on, are you with me? If you're in this room and you're like, but I'm a mechanic. Well, guess what? Be a creative one. Amen. God has given you a gift, and I want you to embrace it today. It will unleash the incredible potential of the life that God designed for you if you'll embrace that today. Are you ready for the story of creation? Genesis chapter 1:1-28, and I've removed a bunch of verses just to speed this up a little bit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is welcome to God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. I cannot hear let there be light without thinking, Aziz, lights. Anybody else? Yeah, good. There's some people in here. Ask someone else who put their hand up what I'm talking about. All right. That was the first day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a vault between the water to separate water from water. And God made a vault to separate the water underneath from the water above it. And so it was so. God called the vault sky the second day. Verse 9, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, let dry ground appear, and it was so. God called the dry ground land and gathered the waters. He called them seas, and God saw that that was good. And then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees in the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds, and it was so. And the land produced vegetations and yada, yada, yada. And then God said, and God saw that it was good too. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And then verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the sky. So God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser to govern the night. He also made stars the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Verse 24, and God said, let the land now produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. What an awesome story. Can you even imagine? All of the earth exploding into living color right then and there, the glory of God on display for the world to see. How unbelievable would that moment have been? Praise God. There was a big bang. I tell you what, God went bang and it was big. Praise God. God values creativity. God is a creative God. Think about the moment that he made some of those creatures. Maybe let's pretend that there was an animal technician involved and let's pretend that was Gabriel, right? God's like, Gabriel, make a fly. And Gabriel's like, yo, boss, what's a fly? A little creature that eats other creatures poop and has wings on it so it can fly. So we'll call it a fly. Gabriel's like, boom, there it is. Gabriel, animal tech. Now make a bee. How do you do that, God? Make another fly, but give this one a butt sword. All right. Gabriel, make a horse. Now make another horse and stretch its neck. Call it a giraffe. Make a spider. What's a spider, boss? Well, make another fly. Cut its wings off, give it 8 legs, give it 8 eyes. That's weird, God. Show me what I'm doing. Yes, give it a butt rope. A butt rope? Like, so it can shoot a rope out of its butt. All right, God, you might need a break. Seventh day's coming soon. Have a rest. Gabriel, make a kitten. What's a kitten look like? Just like an adorable, beautiful little ball of fluff. Put razor blades on its feet. God's creative, right? Like, we joke, but he made every one of those weird creatures, right? God made them. He's creative. And then, and check it out, though. Like, after all of that, then God made us. Amen. After all of that, he made us the crown of his creation, the jewel of his creation, his most precious, most wonderful creation. That's you and that's me. Let's read it in verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind. That was like a mixture of Iraqi, Australian, Southern, Texan, and every kind. I don't know what words I was saying then. But anyway, in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. So God created, let's start that a bit again, verse 26. Let us make mankind in our image. So God created mankind in his image. In his image, he created them. Let us make mankind in our image. So God created them in his image. In the image, he created them. Like, really? We get it, right? Like, boom, 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 over and over. And then in our likeness, image, 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 likeness, image, image. He repeats himself over and over and over so that we understand that he didn't do this for anything else but you and me in his image. And at this point, when this is preached, we know nothing else about God but that he is creative and generous. Now, we are created in all these other ways like God too. But at this moment, he is creative and generous, and he says, I'm going to make them like me. And then he breathed life into you. And then he said, it is very good. Sorry, Jess, didn't mean to correct you in public. It is very good. Everything else was good. You're very good. You're very good. You're created in the image and the likeness of God. God's first recorded act is creating all of creation. And then when that's all we know about him, he says, let us make mankind just like that. I used to say things like, I don't need to be creative. I can hire those people. Just because right now, if you ask me to draw a person, it would look like this, does not mean that I am not a creative person, right? It means that I don't draw very well. Okay? Right? You feel me? It doesn't mean I'm not creative. It means I'm not a great drawer presently right now. Even then, maybe that could change, right? Like, I have a mind that God designed that can adapt and grow and learn, right? But it just means I don't draw well. Because God the Creator created you, breathed his life into you, and created you in his image with creative ability. Praise God. Now, this is a different sermon, I know, but you need to get this. The sooner you accept the fact that you can access God's creative nature inside you, the sooner you'll be able to live the life that he designed for you. The problem is, too many of us have so narrowly defined creativity as drawing musos, artists, designers, fashion designers. And I used to think like that too. And we allow the devil to hold us back simply by convincing us that we aren't good enough, aren't capable, aren't able, because we don't know how to paint something on a wall. That's garbage. Inside each and every one of us, there is a creator. Right? The creator created a creator. You're a creator, amen. Remember, God tells us that we can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. He's implying that we would be using our minds and our creative gift to imagine the endless possibilities of what God might be able to do in our lives, ask for it, and then be amazed when he does more than that. So now I actually do pray every single day. I kid you not, every single day. I have one of these planners because I'm not ADD, but everyone tells me I am. And so I schedule my day precisely every day. I plan my day off. My wife hates it. I tell her at 10 o'clock I got to do this, at 11 o'clock I got to do this, at 9 o'clock. And she's like, oh, you could just sit down and watch TV with me and relax. I'm like, all right, let's do that. Let's chill out. But at the start of that every day, I have this thing called my startup routine, my workday startup routine. And I go through about six things that I do. It starts with a glass of water and then a couple of other things, checking my emails, clearing my inbox, 5 minutes on social media, a couple of other things. And then at the last thing I do is I just simply pray, God, make me a creative leader today. Every day. God, make me a creative leader today. Help me access the creative gift that you gave me and everybody else to solve these unique problems, to lead these people, to inspire them to live the life that you called them to live, to help them find victory over the dead areas of their lives. God, help me be a creative leader to do what you've called me to do. Amen. Help me find creative ways to share your gospel, expand your kingdom, and bless this community that you've called us to. And so as a church, I want the world to look to us for creative solutions, creative content, creative expansion, creative leadership. I want the world to look to us to find creative ways to fail. Yeah? Yeah, I want to tell you, my team and I, we've found some really creative ways to mess up. Yeah? Anyone else? Yeah, like honestly, you can't have much victory in your life without a little bit of creative failure, right? Now, I'm not talking about being a failure, just moments of failure, right? Like, you know, there's a difference between being a failure and having failure, right? Honestly, the biggest blockage to creativity in our lives is fear of failure. And since so many of us feel or have felt like failures in the past, we tend to hold back from things that might allow us to feel that way again. But that's where grace comes in. Another thing that the church should model and then go viral, amen, is grace. You can screw up. We love you. God bless you. Come right back. In fact, don't even leave so you don't have to come back, right? My team is allowed to fail. I'd rather them make a wrong decision than do nothing, right? At least with a wrong decision, we had some movement and we're not stuck and dying, right? Sometimes a wrong decision is so bad you got to fix it so much you come up with a really good solution, right? They're allowed to fail. Because I see a church that's growing, loving, mercy, and gracing so fast that we have to look to God for creative ways to love more, grow more. Mercy more, grace more. And in the process, we find solutions to problems that, A, we didn't even know we had. The world didn't know they had. Then they find answers in us. And then they find inspiration from God's church. And they'll glorify the Lord. Amen. But let me boil it down for you a little bit. No matter who you are, right? No matter who you are, no matter what your job is, you are created to create. But I'm a lawyer. But I'm a public servant. But I'm a mechanic. But I'm a plumber. Hey, you were created to create. See, I see you, Eternity Church people, being the best hires in Central Iowa. The best business owners in the Midwest and beyond. Hallelujah. Because you've realized you don't only need to hire creative people, but you need to look to God and ask Him to unlock in you what has been blocked. And you need to use what God has already given you. Amen. Because creativity is not just art, music, and design. Now, thank God for those gifts. They're a huge part of our church, and we have a wonderful team. And we always will have, like, just great music and great artistic talent and design in our church. But it's not all there is. It's also wisdom. Wisdom is plucking an answer out of nowhere. Something that was not is now. Right? Right? There was nothing, now there's an answer. That's creativity, isn't it? Wisdom is a creative gift. We can have wisdom because God created us creative. We can create answers to problems that people didn't even know they had. We can find answers to complex situations, right? Well, it's prophecy. There's nothing being said, and I'm just, boom, speaking prophecy into your life. It's words of knowledge. It's thoughtful problem solving. All of these things are bringing an answer and solutions and directions that did not exist beforehand. It's not just these other things. There is creativity in you, amen? I want you to find that gift again in your life. Don't just rely on other people's creativity. Use that, embrace that, but unlock it in your own mind. Amen. Wisdom. Solomon had such great wisdom that it went viral. People heard about it. Royalty traveled the world to see with their own eyes the splendor and the wonder of what Solomon was doing with what God had given him. It's plumbers finding solutions to complex problems. It's electricians having wisdom for the task at hand, not just the wisdom to say, don't touch that wire, but wisdom to figure out the problem. It's salesmen and saleswomen finding creative ways to make the deal. It's stay-home dads and stay-home moms figuring out how to make family time and work time both work together for the benefit of the family, right? See, if you feel stifled in your mind, like you can't think of how to solve some of the problems in your life, I want you to understand that God has given you a sound mind, a good mind, and you can make it work for you. And even more, you can ask the Creator of all creators to back you up. I want you to listen to these four scriptures as the band comes out here and starts playing beautiful things on the keyboard. In fact, would you stand up with me? I just want you to listen to these scriptures, just four of them, just four simple scriptures. In Exodus 35, it says, "And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship." Ephesians 2 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, that we would walk in them." And then let's go on and add to that other verse we read earlier, that they would see our good works and glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs, "Do you see a person skilled in their work? They will stand before kings. They will not stand just before obscure people." And Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, do it with all of your heart, as if you're doing it for the Lord rather than for people." I preached a whole sermon series about 2 years ago called Crush Everything, and it was about that very scripture there. In every single thing you do everything as though you're doing it for the Lord, because in fact you are. Goes on to tell that it does, because in fact you are doing it for the Lord. Let's always remember who has given us our creativity, who has given us our giftings in our lives, and remember who it is that we're supposed to worship with those gifts. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to open up the altar for people to receive prayer. Very simple sermon today. Very simple, but also different. Creativity. If you feel stifled, we're going to open up the altar for you to come and receive prayer. If you feel blocked, stifled, stuck, come and ask God to reignite that creative gift in you. Whether it be art, music, design, knowledge, discernment, wisdom, a skill, whatever it is, come and ask God to help you find the right path forward, okay? Our team is just super excited to pray with you. We've got so much faith, and I know that there's probably, in fact, there will be someone in this room who you're like, "I don't know the path forward, but I didn't come for that message." Yeah, you did. If you came to church today and you felt stuck, you did come for this message. And you did come for this prayer time. And when we open up the prayer time, you need to respond to it with everyone else who will respond. Last night, many people came down the front for prayer. Many, many people. Many, many people. So you won't be alone. Don't be afraid to be the first person to walk down there in a few moments because, wondering, will they think that I'm the person who was like, no. No, we won't think that, because there'll be lots of people coming down, okay? Just come and get prayer. Don't walk out of here feeling stuck. I can't figure out the solution. I can't figure out the answer. I believe with all my heart that God gave you a mind and the Holy Spirit of God, and together you can work this out. Amen. Together you can find the path forward and live in the life that God has designed for you. Amen. But before we do that, I want to give people in here an opportunity to give their life to Jesus Christ. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus, Scripture says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So I want to give you an opportunity in a moment to do that. Now, I'm not asking you to stop doing anything, stop saying anything, stop talking a certain way or dressing a certain way. I don't care about any of that. Scripture doesn't say that you need to change those things to be a believer or to have a friendship with God. It says that you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. Now, let me clarify, if there is something in your life that's destructive to you or to others, or if there is something in your life that's sinful and offensive to God, at some point in your life, either today, next week, next month, in 10 years, God will speak to you about that thing when He's prepared your heart to receive it. And then He'll give you the strength and the power to have a victory in your life. But I don't want to come in and sabotage God's plan for your life by trying to make you conform to the pattern of Jesse Newman. Okay? I want you to allow God to come and work in your life for the rest of your life to help you live the blessed life that He designed for you. Okay? Does that sound good, church? So if you're in here and you'd like to give your life to Jesus today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray it one line at a time, and you just repeat it after me. That's all. Everyone else in the room, front, back, right, left, every single person is going to pray this prayer as well, out loud, so you won't feel alone, so you won't feel like you stand out. We're going to give you an opportunity to pray this prayer with all of us. So right now, in a big, bold voice, everyone repeat after me, but especially those who are away from God or have never known Him. Everybody together, dear God, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross. He paid the price for my sins. He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it for me. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.